The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
With early detection comes early prevention.
Put lead in your pencil, make you feel like a champion.
Rise up again, let nothing keep you down. So live your best.
Hear the urologist speak.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Think you're losing grip of your manhood. Don't give up on hope.
Don't be ashamed. It's time to take control. Get some help from the urologist.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is Urologist Speaks with Amy Urologist, Dr. Gregory Pinto, and I'm pleased to have as my co-host the well-known Mr. Calvin Green, who is well-known for decades in the tourism sector. He's well-known as a church leader. He's very active with the youth in Junkanoo and in the Boxing Commission in the Bahamas here. Welcome again, Mr. Calvin Green.
Well, thank you, Doc. It's always a pleasure to be in your company. Let's talk.
So we're here trying to empower the nation. We're trying to speak about the ills of our country and try to come to solutions. We're going to talk about the not just the physical ill health of our country. We're talking about the social ill health, the spiritual health, ill health, the emotional. So we're trying to make our country whole again. We're trying to empower the youth. We're trying to rise above our troubles and look to a brighter day. So first and foremost, we'd like to say, Mr. Green and myself, where our prayers go out to our brothers and sisters in Jamaica, in Hispaniola, in Cuba, and of course our own Bahamian women, children, men who are suffering right now in the southeast and southwest Bahamas, from Crooked Island to Onaga to Rum Key, Cat Island, Long Island. Our prayers are with them, and we wish them Godspeed. And I don't know if you want to say a few words. I know you're a man of God, Calvin. A few prayers.
Well, you know, one of the I was thinking about it, and one of the images that I saw that came out of Jamaica was a man, and all he kept saying was, "Everything I own in life, everything I own in life, everything I work so hard for, it's all gone, it's all gone." And I kept thinking about that man. That was a very powerful image to me, to hear him say that over and over in a twinkling of an eye. Everything that he ever owned in life is all gone. But then I thought to myself, that's true, but at least you have life and maybe you can start over again. Even though you've lost everything, it was a very, very terrible storm. It's going to be a long time as I look at all the images and that I think Jamaica could recover from tourism to all the infrastructure and everything that you see, the images. It's going to be a long road to recovery. And for the people, and I mean mentally and psychologically, that's another road that people are going to have to deal with. Months of no light, no water, maybe no food, etc. It's a wow. I don't think I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
It's a tragedy that you cannot even put into words. But we always have to say that as long as you have life, and as long as you have hope, as long as you have your health, anything is possible. Materialism, I think we as a country are far too materialistic. All of that can be gone in the blink of an eye.
But I want to, that word hope, Doc, and we use that loosely sometimes, but we all live in hope. We hope for a better tomorrow. We hope that our children are the best that they can be. We hope that we could be the best we be. And this is the Jubilee Year of Hope. So we just hope that there's a better tomorrow.
We do, but I think that week by week, day by day, we seem to be falling deeper and deeper into despair, into the pit of hell in some instances. I mean, where are we, Bahamas, when we're shooting and murdering pregnant women and throwing them into the bush. I mean, what has become of our society? And then we speak about capital punishment and hanging still being on the books. But what, by definition, is the worst of the worst? I mean, we hear so many crimes that are inexplicable, as if a demon must have committed them, and they're not defined as the worst of the worst. So how can we not, how do we define the worst of the worst? And that brings up a bigger issue that I personally, and I think at least half the country, if not most of the country, have a problem with, and is it why, as a free, independent nation, we've been free for over 50 years, 52 years now, why are we relying on the privileged, elitist Privy Council to dictate our lives and our existence? Why are we under colonial rule, relying on the colonial Privy Council? These elitists who have known nothing about living in the Bahamas, know nothing about our culture, whatever they decide, they has no consequences on them because they're not living in this. It's an abstract thought for them when they talk about the laws of our own country. Why do we have brilliant minds, brilliant legal minds in our country, a brilliant judiciary, the most educated of persons that you can imagine, why do we not have faith in ourselves that we can rule ourselves? Why do we have to rely on the Privy Council? The Judicial Committee of the Privy Council is a relic of the British Empire. Why are we embracing this colonial legacy of control? It's, in my mind, a form of mental slavery. I mean, some other islands are looking at, you see the rise of the Caribbean Court of Justice, the CCJ, which I think is a fundamentally important decolonialization effort aiming for the judicial independence from the former colonial power. But why are we allowing the Privy Council to tell us that we can't institute capital punishment? Why are we allowing the Privy Council to tell us who should be granted citizenship and who should not?
Well, you know, Doc, I mean, there are a few countries in the Caribbean, if I remember, like Barbados, I think Jamaica, who have already gone in.
I think Trinidad, Barbados.
Yes, in a different direction. For us Bahamians, we take a longer time to get there. We like what we like. And as we were saying off radio, I mean, you know, that's a very tricky subject for Bahamians. We like what I call our local Medal of Honors, but we also like to hear, CBE, the Order of the British Empire and everything. And so it becomes a very, very difficult road for us to, I should say, maneuver and decide what we want to do, what kind of country we want. Because we like what we like, and there's some, and we always, another thing that's wrong with us, we always think that outside is always better. We have a difficult time in believing in what we believe in as a people and believing in ourselves. And so we always believe, and I got to quote Mr. Miller, Leslie Miller, who always says that anything outside of the Bahamas, Bahamians think that it's the best, that we don't believe, we don't have the ability and the mindset to do what we can do as a people.
And I think for many things, it's those who are coming from outside or the ones who actually embrace our natural beauty, our natural resources. They will see the Bahamas as utopia. But Bahamians who are given that birthright of the most beautiful waters in the world, the most beautiful sands, the most tranquil climate, and a free society where you have religious freedom, where it's a stable government, where you can achieve greatness through education without any financial constraints because you can get a free education in this country where the sky is the limit. I've mentioned this before. We're not impeded because of the color of our skin. So right there, we have the advantage over tens of millions of African Americans or those of Caribbean descent in Canada or Jamaicans or Nigerians in United Kingdom or in France who at times are actually given hell in every aspect of their life, professionally, socially, within their communities, within the neighborhoods. Here, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. And I think we take that for granted as well. We have nothing tethering us. We can achieve the heights of greatness. And what we are doing is we're self-destructing. We're going out and we're having, it starts from the youth. We're having, children are having children. That, I think, is one of the first things that's imploding our country. Children having children. Where are we going in regards to that? If what is our future of our nation if children are having children or having children and it happens generation after generation?
Well, you know, you and I, again, we were talking about that, and again, that's a very, very tricky subject in that, you know, when I was growing up and when you were growing up, we had parents that, you know, that they cared for us, loved us. They saw a path for us that we can be successful and that we could grow and develop and be who we are today. When you have a young mother who has four or five children and she is living in a place with no light, no water, no electricity, as I said before, and how do you grow these children up? What kind of direction, what kind of love can you give them? Are you only thinking about survival, about some food for the day and what happens tomorrow? There is no place really that you're staying that has all the, I would say, the amenities of a home, a nice indoor bathroom and a nice kitchen, good food. And so when you're living in those kind of conditions, I don't know if there's much you could look for. You know, I drive through, I don't mean anything by this, I drive through certain streets, and you look and you see the litter on both sides of the streets, garbage bins just overflowing, and they all over the road, and the road look bumpy. And I say to myself mentally, how could you live like this?
Well, even worse than that, I'll drive through, and even coming to the radio station today, you'll drive through corners and you will find young children, 5, 6, 7 years old, 3, 4 of them, just walking aimlessly. No parent in sight. They could get knocked down. No one seems to care. People can kidnap them. There is no parental support in our country for so many young persons. And they're wayward. They're raising themselves. Yeah. How many children are raising themselves? Or how many siblings are raising their young children? Younger brother, younger sister, my apologies. Mm-hmm. We have a call coming in. This is Urologist Speaks. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing, sir?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Hey, hello?
Yes, hello. We're hearing you, sir.
Yes, how are you doing, Dr. Benton?
I'm very well.
Good evening to you again.
Mr. Calvin Green.
Good evening, sir. Thank you. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, quick to get rid of the Privy Council?
I think we need to. I think,
why?
First of all, we need to rule our own land. We're having, I would say, privileged elitists casting laws upon us from tens of thousands of miles away. Why can't we rule our own lands?
Why can't we rule our own land?
That's the question, yes.
Okay. We've been given opportunities to run this land. And years, about 50, almost like 52 years plus, right? And basically, we are looking at corruption. You didn't put that in the equation, right?
I very much know that there is corruption, yes. So okay, that's why I mentioned that I think there is a hope when we talk about the Caribbean Court of Justice, which... Yeah. It's supposed to be independent of any governmental interference. Obviously, no system is perfect, but I think at least that gives us a glimmer of hope that we're ruling our own Caribbean as Caribbean nations ruling each other.
The Caribbean, that's a problem right there.
But why do you mention corruption? I mean, what do you think corruption get to do with why we have not moved in that direction? I mean, what does that have to do with it? I'd like to know that. What is the thinking on that?
Can you repeat yourself? I didn't hear you.
No, you mentioned the word corruption, and I want to know why you mentioned the word corruption as we talk about this issue of the Privy Council. I wanted to know why you think corruption has something to do with it.
For the mere fact, you're like ready to get rid of the Privy Council, but we are not talking about our real problem. We want to be in the Caribbean. We want to have a nation that is overrun by Haitians. We want to play as if we don't know that the majority of people who you see are Haitians, and you mentioned about women, 7-8 children. But whoever in the 7-8 children, then the Haitian women don't have, I'm talking about enough children. The majority of children born in the PMH are Haitian children. These children see running around without anybody and doing whatever they want. Raising these children come from Bahamian. Bahamians are not having children.
Well, listen, whatever problem we have, and we have created the problems we have today. And, you know, we had a minister, Loftus-Roker, who warned us of our problem. We didn't do anything about it. So now we are where we are. The thing is, now we have got to deal with it. That's the only direction we could go now, because you could blame whoever you want, but we got a problem, and we got to solve it.
I don't think holding on to colonial rule, where we were inferior or subhuman, we didn't have the same rights as someone who came. We had the governor generals who were ruling over us. I don't think that holding on the relics of the empire are making us any better as a nation. Yes, we have our own problems. Every country has problems. The United States has corruption. Europe has corruption. The president of France just went to prison. So don't think that we're the only nation has, by human beings, we have faults. We have the aptitude to be corrupt. But I think that we do have, at the core of the matter, we have a good populace who want better for our future and for our children. We have another call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Good. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I have a little concern here. I hear you guys talking about us and governing ourselves in a manner that, in a way that we ought to. I got a newspaper, one of your newspapers, on yesterday after I heard one of your talk show hosts talking about it. And I went and checked it out to see if it was really true. Because in this paper, it has this story about a gentleman, I assume he sounds as if he's in Florida, who was charged the other day for having 14 guns. Could you believe that? 14 guns and 1,000 bullets. Hello?
Yes, we're hearing.
That comes with a mandatory sentence. And the story runs that the gentleman was able to pay some $1.something million and was allowed to go free. I haven't heard this anywhere on any of the news anywhere, and I'm wondering, like, what's going on? Is it true? Is this real? What's going on?
Boy, well, I got to tell you. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, sir. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think with any justice system in the world,
if we look back a few years ago, and even now, we're dealing with guns and killings and shootings almost on a daily basis. And here it is, we've been wondering, well, how these guns are coming in our country, how are they getting here? And then we catch someone who is guilty of importing or having in their possession, and I think it was on their private yard. And then it's like finding a leak in your house, and then you know, what you do? Just put a bucket on it, or we'll deal with that later on, or what's happening? I'm just flabbergasted. I can't understand it.
Well, let me tell you, I read the same story, and when I finished reading the story, and I had the same feeling as you, I said to myself, wow, that's an interesting one. Just because he was able to pay some $1.4 million, he was allowed to go. And I had the same reaction.
I can't hear you guys, so I'll hang up and I'll listen to you guys.
Yeah, I had the same reaction when I read that story also. I just could not believe it. I mean, I thought that he should have at least spent some time in prison. Yeah, not spend a $1.4 million and then allowed to go. And when we're dealing with the kinds of issues with guns, etc., and he was allowed to go. And you know, see, that is the frustrating thing for Bahamians. We know that our country could be so much better. We could be so much better. But when we look at the things and the decision we make, I think for most Bahamians, that becomes the most frustrating part of it, dealing with the issues that we deal with and the things that we see. And then we wonder, what kind of country we have? What are we doing? And so that's the question really what the gentleman is asking when he read that story, and I read that story and I think about that and I say to myself, how could that be?
I think anywhere in the world, there's no equality in the justice system. Why are the prisons overrun in the United States with poor black men? Many of them are in jail for decades for what you would describe as minor drug infractions, where you have white-collar billionaire privileged men who get away with quote-unquote murder. Maybe they'll be in a country club quote-unquote prison, or they may have a heavy fine, or they may have house arrest. But there's no equality in any country in the justice system. It's the rich always going to get away with. They're always going to have the high-powered KC lawyers. They're always going to find a loophole and have ways to get out of whatever criminal activity they were involved in. That's just life. Unfortunately, it's not fair, particularly when you're a poor person and you are fighting injustice and you don't see any way of getting any justice for yourself. But that's unfortunately the way life is. It's not unique to our country. It's far from it. But it is a tragedy.
But Doc, we could be different. I mean, you know, maybe it may not be unique to our country, but there are some things that I believe as a country and as a people we could do that makes us different. We don't have to travel down the same road that other people do and the things that we... And again, I say, for most Bahamians, I believe that's what is so frustrating, because we know when we believe that our country could be so much better. And when we see the things that we see, and people turn a blind eye, I mean, it's almost as if we lost the sense of what is right and what is wrong. We don't know what is right and wrong anymore. And but that becomes a problem.
I'm not a lawyer, but I have enough knowledge to know that the public prosecutors can appeal any judgment. So if this thing is as egregious as it sounds, then they have that route to appeal. And I think if there's a public uproar, maybe that will prompt them to actually appeal that judgment.
But why do we go down the road in the first place? I mean, you know, that was not a road, and I don't know the details of why that agreement was reached. But when we look at the overall landscape of what is happening in our country, it has to make people shake their head and ask, how could that be?
Well, I think it even will infuriate the family of those who are in jail for 15 years because they were caught with a gun. And maybe they were trying to rob somewhere. There's no justification for it. But maybe their children were starving, and they're sitting up in Fox Hill for 15 years, And this one, this gentleman with privilege was able to get off. We have another call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Yes. Dr. Pinto, I must confess that I appreciate you and your knowledge and you bringing these issues to the public. And also, Mr. Green, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Dr. P. I listen to you a lot on your other show, so good to hear your voice. So.
Thank you very much.
I have something burning in my spirit, but I'll leave this for the last. I'll ask you all too. But my premise is this. Dr. Pinto stated, but the elites that we seek from the Privy Council. But I have my view, and this is my view, and I want to check everyone with their view. I often like to make my point from a biblical point of view, and this is my belief. This is a conspiracy. Until we, as men, understand the conspiracy that is going on and connect ourselves biblically, like Dr. Pinto alluded to, with all the temporal success that we have, or we say we claim to have. Some persons compromise themselves to obtain it. Some work hard from the bootstrap up. Until we understand that. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Apple, he realized that on his deathbed with billions, he realized he was disconnected. Here's case in point. While we make politics our first religion in this country, this is my view, check. There is no message as to the erosion of the family. This got to be a conspiracy. Young ladies being killed, 7 months pregnant, suicide yesterday. I'm still in this country, the order of the day, politics is our first religion. I thank God Dr. Pinto don't have a show pertaining to politics. We are electing liberal leaders who don't believe in the family. Many politicians under the song of my voice, woman and man, they don't have a clue what is the family. They have no feelings, no belief on what family is all about. And I have to stay biblically. The first institution that God made was the family, Adam and Eve. The evidence is clear that more than 60% of the children in this country born out of wedlock and no message whatsoever. Yeah. This group of liberal, Dr. Pinto calling me leaders, this group of liberal are so strong in this country. When we do wake up, the ones who believe in the spirit of entitlement and believe that they win, at the end of the day, nobody will win. No one will win. I am a victim. I've been shot. My friend is demise.
Dr. P, you really believe that the politicians who do not believe in the family? I mean, I don't know what to say with that.
Brother Green, I will say it again. The last group of politicians who believe in the family, that was under Sir Lyndon. I'm well over 70. The first time I voted was in 72. Sir Lyndon may not have been a perfect man, but he was a man of the family. No other, even my good homeboy. I expect more from social service. Social service, myself and Obi Whitcomb used to clash. I ask him, why are you afraid to raise in your ministry the message of the family? Why? Even some pastors, their message is not about the family. I salute Dr. Pinto. What we have in this country today with this social disorder, poorly socialized young men, young women, they are coming from home, poorly socialized home, and where what they born from a family. but no message. Oh, this one gonna do that. The politicians promise you a lie, selling a lie every time they come, but they don't have a message for the family.
Wow.
That's my view, and I will not change that. And until we get back, we have moved the ancient landmark that this country was once built on, the family structure. No message. And that is also applied to my good friend and brother, my personal friend, Minister Miles Lerota Reed, and clash on that, and Obi Whitcomb. Why is it that there is no message on the erosion of the family? It's a conspiracy. Have a good evening.
Well, thank you for your words. You brought up a lot of interesting points. Yes, I am bipartisan. I have no political affiliation. I know I've had the pleasure of seeing persons from all walks of life and gotten to know them over the last couple decades, particularly in the last maybe 8 years, both sides of the political divide. And I've always said that they're good in both parties. Many of them have personally touched me. Maybe sometimes they don't even know how they have touched me. I remember 34 years ago, I got a Borco scholarship. It was the first Borco scholarship given up from out of Grand Bahama. And I received a phone call from someone I admired at the time. He was a young gunning lawyer in the form of Honorable Mr. Fred Mitchell. And he congratulated me, told me how he's proud of me and what I accomplished, and I need to go off and I need to get all the skills I can. I told him I wanted to be a physician. I told him I wanted to be a surgeon and eventually a urologist. He said, told me about the need for a urologist in this country. Never forget your country and where you've come. And he said, Borco is investing in you. And at that time, I had gotten a Life of Key scholarship. I had gotten a City Market scholarship. So I felt I was being invested in. And at the time, honestly, I was thinking of never coming back. But those words from Fred Mitchell, and he spoke to me about 20 minutes to the importance of Bohemian and Nash and loving your nation and trying to improve your nation and spoke about brain drain and everything else. And I'm not saying that was what made me change my mind for coming home, but that was very important. And I do remember those words. I've never met Fred Mitchell ever. I've never spoken to him since that time, but those words meant something to me. When I came back as an intern, I met Dr. Dwayne Sands. He was a mentor and a role model to me. You can say many things about Dr. Sands, but he loves his country. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. I can put my hand on the Bible and say that that man loves his country and he wants the best for this country and he's willing to sacrifice for this country. I was in the surgery arena with him for many, many years. And he would always say he trusted my surgical judgment when trauma would come in and I would be on call. I don't need to get into any long story about this person was shot here, the blood pressure is here, they lost this amount of blood. He just says, just say two words, I need you. And if that meant we just finished operating at 11:40 p.m. and he just got home and there was another gunshot came in at 3:15, all I did was call. He didn't grunt. He didn't have any despair in his voice. And he just said, I'll be there. And he was there. And then we would operate again. And then we'd have a regular day, which was full of turmoils and everything else. So they're good in everything. Jeffrey Lloyd, that man is a good man. He invested into the education of our country. Unfortunately, because of COVID, he had obstacles that no other minister of education ever had to face. I knew Brave Davis many years before he became actual prime minister, Honorable Brave Davis, and he always encouraged me. He always spoke to me. He always spoke to me as an equal, even as a prime minister. Within 1 week of coming into power, I didn't ask for it. He invited me to come and speak for over an hour with himself, Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper, and the Honorable Minister of Health, Michael Darvill. And we spoke about, from my perspective, what they can do to improve the health system, what I thought can be done in the fight for against prostate cancer. And we've had many innumerable talks in regards to that. I've spoken many times. I would get phone calls from Minister Darville, and he would speak to me as the equal and ask my opinion and what equipment do you need, and is this equipment being fixed, and we're going to work on this, and what is needed. I never saw any minister in the past do that. The Prime Minister spoke to me for an hour here and there, and he would tell me how he's proud of me and how he wants me to reach out and try to reach as many people as possible. And that actually inspired me. I actually told him that. I'm telling him now if he's listening. That actually inspired me to go onto the radio. So I'm not PLP, I'm not FNM, but they're good and bad in both. We don't need to, there's too much, as they say, politics is a religion in this country. Yeah. If you're a PLP through and through, you don't mean that everything the FNM says or does, that means that it's evil or demonic or wrong. The same thing. If you're FNM, true and true, doesn't mean everything the PLP does is wrong and going down the wrong path and flushing our country down the toilet. They're good and bad. We need more bipartisanship, and we need to love our country and uplift our country as a nation and stop being divided by a political divide.
Yeah. Doc, I got to piggyback on, but you know, that's so powerful what you just said, and people cannot give right where it is because of what they believe, whether it's FNM or PLP. If something is right, it is right. And it doesn't matter which party does it if it's right. If it's right for the Bahamian people, then it's right. And that is the thing that we need to get away from as a people, not recognizing, as you said, there are good and there's bad. Yeah, good and bad. And well, maybe not bad, but the direction and the decisions they make may not be good for us as a country and as a people.
Yeah. And why are we reliant on our member of parliament to tell us not to beat our wife? Why are we reliant on our member of parliament to tell us to use a condom or to not to have five outside children that we take no responsibility for? Or why does our member of parliament have to tell us as God-fearing children that we shouldn't pick up a gun and go and rob the man down the street? We're blaming the government for too many things. Obviously, instituting policies, upholding laws, putting money into certain industries and everything else is all important, but we are failing ourselves. Look within the home. Let's forget what's outside the home. What are we doing and outside the home? Why are we being emotionally abusive to our spouse? Yeah. Why are we ignoring our children? Why are we having outside children? Why are we spending our last dollar on gambling? Or why are we drinking excessively every single night? Why are we ignoring our 14-year-old son who drinks every night? We have to look within ourselves. We have another call coming in. This is Urologist Speaks. Good evening.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Pinto.
Good evening, good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you. Yes, that 20-minute read was a long time.
But yeah.
Anyhow, good afternoon. Thank you.
I heard you, Dr. Pinto, you talk about you don't trust the Privy Council or you feel a little bit safe. But if I or any one of my relatives have to go when you look at the death penalty, I would want my mother, and that ain't gonna happen, but I'm just saying, but to be tried to the Privy Council level as opposed to here locally in the Bahamas where all this corruption is. The Privy Council don't know me. Chances are someone on jury somewhere else would know me. They're gonna look at the case. That's what they look at, the case. They don't look at the individual. They don't see the individual. They might assume the individual is black, but they look at the case, which is very important. Over here, they look at some other things. You can imagine the nonsense these politicians would have been doing going up into election with crime rates so high. People would be getting hung like candy, you know, but just for votes. We know this. So that don't make much sense, not having an independent body look at these cases.
No, I truly agree that we need an independent body, but I think that needs to come within the Caribbean. That's where they have the Caribbean Court of Justice.
The Caribbean Court of Justice? They're just as corrupt. They have these Caribbean islands are just as corrupt as the Bahamas. Look at what's going on in the Indian Caribbean region. Look at Jamaica. Look at Trinidad. They are all corrupt, and they are doing basically the same thing with these. See, this is a collaborative effort between the Caribbean leadership. Jamaica dollar weighs basically nothing. All of their resources were sold off, the bauxite, the sugar cane, the salt. They had good sugar. Look at what is happening here to us. And you want those Banana Republic leaders? You want your life to be in the hands of those Banana Republic leaders?
I have friends who are legal counsel, who are lawyers in the United Kingdom, and they'll often say that the justice system there is as corrupt as anywhere in the world. They'll say that the Privy Council is also corrupt.
So, you know, maybe so, you know, Dr. Pinto.
But listen, let me ask you a question. You really think, and I got to ask this, man, as I smile, as a people, isn't that a serious indictment you're saying to us as a people? And I have to use the word as a black person, that we can't make good and decent decisions?
I mean, when you look at let's look at this case that is before the court right now concerning the chief superintendent and those voice notes. You see where they send us? You don't think they could send those voice notes right across the border? See, a half-hour flight away from Florida. You see where they send us? They waited for most people almost a year. Then they send it to the UK. They overseas, but they could have just sent it right to the US. You don't think something is a muck?
But what difference would that have? I mean, if you send it to the UK?
I don't trust it. You send it too far.
But isn't the Privy Council in the UK?
My thing is, when you're talking.
Well, let me ask one question. Do you think we were better off, or we would be better off if we were still under colonial rule, if we never got independence?
Most definitely. We would have been 1,000% better off, and I can tell you why. When you look at the last 52 years, right, our black leaders have given away more fake citizenship and sold off more of our crown land in 52 years than what our colonial masters did in 300 years. That's a fact. When the Linden took over, we had just over 100,000. Our population was like 160 or something like that, 1,000. You see what our population is today? With these painful Bahamians, and then they're saying that Bahamians are not having children. So who are these people? How could our population explode to that level in just 52 years?
Are you saying, man, that I can go back to the word you're using. We can't govern ourselves. We don't have the ability. Dr. Pinto went to the same university as any white person who went to the, and he got the same degree. I went to the same university. You see, I really take an exception to that.
And I can say for my freedom is priceless.
Yeah.
Freedom is priceless. We may not have the best society, and we can do better, but at least we're free.
Look at what's happening just the other day, Dr. Pinto. I've been an advocate because I didn't see the nonsensical foolishness in this particular legislation. Because I just spoke about that a week and a half earlier, prior to that pregnant woman being murdered and the unborn fetus. Life being interrupted. I just spoke on that issue, right?
Correct.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I just spoke on that. Now, here it is. Now, I don't like to get into the back and forth with the scientists, right? See, because when they talk about what is life and at what stage, because a caterpillar is still a butterfly if you allow it to fully develop. A tadpole is still a frog if you allow it to fully develop. A fetus is still a baby if you allow it to fully develop. But if we make that argument and say, well, life begins at whatever stage in that pregnancy, they can have that. They can have that. But I'll say this. Whatever they do, the doctors call it BNC, but we know it's basically abortion, same thing. But I'll say this, though. They cannot refute that whatever they are doing in respect to that unborn fetus, it's a life that they are taking. So they can't argue that with me, but they can argue the different stages just to justify their evil to abort the baby. But why can't we put the proper legislation in place? I did a draft right now, I have a proposal bill to address the unborn. The long title of this particular one, and I can disseminate it, I can give it to you two, to doctors, but I'll say this though. An act, just the long title, an act to amend the Penal Code, Chapter 84, to address a new offense related to the unlawful killing of an unborn fetus when the pregnant woman is carrying the fetus is murdered. Or the short title is, this act may be cited as the Unborn Victims of Homicide Act 2025. It's very detailed. And I'm going to disseminate it to see if we can get justice for those unborn babies whose lives have been interrupted. But our leaders, see, people talk about, oh, the PLP, F&M, same thing. No, not so far, because acronyms and parties can't do me anything. Those parties are fed by leaders. It's the leaders that make the difference, not the F&M or the PLP. It's the leaders. You know how our system operates. The leaders is the first to move. They're the ones who call the shots. So when we look at the U.S. situation with Donald Trump, Donald Trump was a Democrat. He became a Republican. But that Republican Party is different from the George Bush and Ronald Reagan Party. Donald Trump, he is doing basically, so it's the leaders that make a difference. But here it is, though. We show the corruption and the ineptitude that we be putting into Parliament. You're a doctor.
Yes.
I'm sure when you apply to PMH or wherever you're working, you had to go through a rigorous interview to be hired. Look at how we elect leaders in the Bahamas. We elect them from rallies, cracking jokes. Could you imagine that?
I hear your point, yes.
Yeah. I mean, why can't we have, Doc? I would imagine that these shows that you do, you put a lot of time into it to bring something, present something educational and informative to our Bahamian people. But in the next few months, all of this hard work is going to be lost in the rubble when these big rallies kick in. Why can't we have political live debate where all candidates vying for particular constituency, office in a constituency, why can't we have debates among themselves?
I wholeheartedly agree. We do need political debates.
But you're not going to get it. You're going to get rallies where people standing up getting drunk, drinking rum, eating food, they cracking jokes. And this is just embarrassing what is happening here. I mean, we have new leaders, but they don't seem to have what it takes to really get this thing done. Why? I mean, the F&M should be pushing for political live debate. Michael is the generational leader. We're from the same generation. You see him pushing for political live debate. You see Brave Davis wouldn't have it. Brave Davis must be almost 80, but he ain't going to have it because it's unofficial to them. But why? How do we know? Who are we electing? Why should we find out that these people don't have common sense and intelligence before we vote for them, or they can't think critically on their feet? What we are doing is, but then we want good results after these people have been elected. It ain't gonna happen. We don't even have they manage the Bahamas. They managing the Bahamas, Dr. Pinto, from the ad hoc style, from their head. Imagine a whole country. You need a plan to build up a wall. To build a wall right now, you need a plan. But these men are joking with people's lives and their future by managing the country from their head, and we expect something different?
No, we definitely need whatever political party is in power. We need a 50-year plan. We need a 100-year plan. We need a vision.
Well, the other thing is, who are you going to blame? You got to blame people like me and you, because we allow it to happen. We could talk about it all we want, but if we don't do anything about it, nothing will happen. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Oh, we have another call coming in. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you.
What are you saying? Well, boy, that's a long one. Yes, sir. One thing, the Privy Council, right? I heard him say, I didn't listen to the talk show before, but that you have a problem with the Privy Council or didn't agree with the Privy Council. My view on the Privy Council is, let me ask a question. Do you agree that there are views that we take based on who we know?
Very much so, yes.
Okay. And that's why I would never support the getting rid of the Privy Council, because the Privy Council, to my knowledge, my understanding, deals with the case file and apply the evidence to our law that as exists. So they don't watch faces. So my problem is, because I go before a court against you, who have some sort of gravitas, or people know you, your elite and so forth, it is very unlikely that it would be impartial. So that's where the Privy Council comes in.
We would hope that the Privy Council is impartial, but I think what it does is it's a relic of the empire. I think that we as a nation, a talented nation of innumerable Caribbean countries, can come together without government interference and have a judicial committee that can replace the Privy Council effectively.
No, I agree that anything outside of your country, it is beneficial. You see what happened inside the United States as relates to the Supreme Court? You see what happened? Where the Supreme Court making ruling that to my knowledge and what I see, it is to please certain people, which is contrary to what's the norm or the law. So to avoid that kind of situation, you try to have some impartial, at least places who should be impartial, because they have no allegiance to no one. And that's the reason why the Privy Council, in my estimate, the court of the Caribbean Court of Appeal, or whatever you want to call it, it would be better than any Supreme Court or Court of Appeal in the Bahamas. I agree. But that's why I say, in the absence of any other impartial court, the Privy Council is our best hope to mitigate against people being biased or showing favoritism to the elite or the names of the family.
Well, we could always use that same logic for the 1700s and the 1800s when we had kings and queens who were ruling us from tens of thousands of miles away and seemingly impartial because they didn't know any of us and controlling our lives, but we were under mental slavery. We were under colonial rule. That's a form of slavery.
No, I'm not disputing that. I don't agree with that part. That part is correct. But I'm saying as relates to giving justice to the voices or the powerless.
So what we're saying is the most powerful judiciary in the land should be under colonial control, not our own. That's where I have a problem with.
Doctor, people don't see it as that.
I hear you. And as relates to when the other caller was talking about the family, like you said earlier, that I don't see why somebody got to tell you how to be a good person to your as relates to your family and so forth. We have to take accountability for our own actions.
So it's not as if we have perfect families and we're perfect citizens and that we don't commit heinous crimes and the members of parliament are the ones who are taking our country down. We're imploding our own country for within our own family, within our own neighborhood, within our own communities. We're the ones creating havoc and chaos for our own children. We're the ones who are ruining the future of our youth. Obviously, the government have a role. They can improve things or they can make things worse or they can leave things the same way that they are. But we have all the power. No matter what my member of parliament says, my child is going to be influenced by what I say and what I do, even by leading by silent example. So I put goodness in their heart. I put a love of the country in their heart. It's not for my member of parliament who may come around once every five years. It's the family that is disappearing in our country, and that's what I think is the greatest problem and tragedy in our country right now.
I agree. And another thing is, I think a lot of times our outside influence been trying to adopt certain laws or standards outside of our country for and try to implement it to our country creates a problem. Because, you know, like certain, you call it democracy, certain rights. Certain rights, I understand everybody wants rights, but some things you can't allow people to do. Like, for example, in the family, you know, they're saying you can't do this to a child. You can't do this to a child. A child has a right to have their privacy. I mean, there's these different laws outside of what people implement in other countries. And certain things is not applicable for our way of living or you know, our culture. And when we try to implement those things, it causes us to lose the foundation, the structure that we put out. Our country, in the name of pleasing the quote unquote tourists or the foreigners, as lose our morals. Do you remember? And one time ago, you could tell a Sunday. I'm an Adventist, but you could tell a Sunday because Sunday was solemn to many people.
Yes.
But you can't tell it now.
Oh, we all know we're losing our way. But I think, as I say, why are we blaming the government? Let's start within the family.
Yeah.
Let's start within the home.
Yeah.
Let's start with our children. Let's start with respecting our grandparents and our parents and making them proud of us by being good citizens, and we'll have a better Bahamas.
Absolutely.
I agree with you, though.
Okay. Well, you made a lot of brilliant points and a lot of food for thought, and I thank you for the intelligence in which you've delivered it. But thank you very much for your call.
I appreciate your indulgence, and keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Let's make together. Yeah. There are enough of us that care, enough of us that love this country. Let's make this Bahamas a better place.
Absolutely.
Good evening. We have another call coming in.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I really don't like to say good morning, good evening. I don't like to say give thanks for life and keep hope alive.
I agree, particularly with this hurricane hitting our brethren, our sistren in the southern western Bahamas and southern eastern Bahamas.
It's hard for I don't see how why a slave or a modern day slave could say the same. You know what I mean? All is good, and you know, it's a good morning. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, like, you know. We seem to believe that slavery is not real, or colonization is not real, or is not here, and it's not here anymore. And you know, and some of us we love the slave master more than we love ourselves.
I agree.
You know, like Malcolm X said, you know what I mean?
Part of me was saying, I think two of us aspire just to be the house Negro, and we're happy with
right.
that.
Right, that's my point. You see, we have a nation full of house slaves.
Yes.
You know, full of house slaves. You know, they you know who they are? You know, the house slave was always the educated one.
Yes.
He was educated.
Yes.
He's good. Live in the big house, in a big house, right? And we have, in the Bahamas, we have too many of them. That's why we can't do any better as a nation. You know, they say the few slaves, the poor would always be with us. And that the slave wants something for nothing now. The slave, if they're working hard in the sun, you know, working harder than them, you know?
I mean, we should aspire. And we should get together, and Bahamian businessmen should come together and get our own hotel and keep the money in our country.
Right. You see, that's why these people want, that's why they believe we still need the Privy Council, because without the Privy Council, they believe that the foreign investors that we don't need won't come. Mm-hmm. You see, but they whether the Privy Council is there or not, they still going to come if you allow them to come and be our masters.
They come not because they love us. They come because there's opportunity and it benefits them.
That's right.
Because of our geographical proximity to the United States, it has great benefits. We are blessed on that level alone.
Because of our slave mentality, our house slave mentality, they're going to come.
Well, I think we also will. They'll come because we have a stable government. I think we don't speak enough about that.
Yeah.
Not every country in the world has a stable government, and where we have free elections without violence or intimidation. There are a lot of things wrong with our country, but at least we have that. We can worship God without persecution, without condemnation. Again, a lot of countries on this earth do not have that. We take that for granted.
But you know, they go everywhere. You know, whether they go there and create. When the condition is not good for them, when you don't privatize, when you don't allow them to own your utilities and own them hotels, they're gonna create a civil war.
Yes, I understood. Very, you're correct.
And see, and this would be fair to see. But what I really want to talk about, right, is the middle class, right? That how do we convince them that income tax is the tax that we need, which is gonna bring the cost of living down? We have a duty free shopping. Right, and everything we purchase, there'd be no government duties. Right? How do we convince them that it's better for them? That it helps everybody?
Well, you'll be speaking to a very select group of people, a shrinking middle class, and it's shrinking by the day.
But it's shrinking because of it, because they don't want to pay the taxes. Okay, like you, I'm sure you have friends that in America, friends in the UK, friends in Canada, all the prosperous nations. And they pay, like, the people in your category, they pay like 40% of their salaries in taxes.
Yes, that is correct.
Tax,
that is correct.
Tax and all the other taxes, the national, the NHI tax, all of these taxes. But the behemoths, they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay the main tax, the major one, the income tax. They don't want to pay it.
Well, we pay the taxes in other ways, in many other ways. So it may not be called income tax, but we're paying our taxes, that's for sure. We're paying our taxes.
Well, the only thing, what I would say, Carl, is that we find a way, for some reason, not to win. But I mean, and that's a mindset that we have to get. You know, just like the fellow coming in from Miami, and he has his luggage full of whatever, and he don't want to pay the tax coming in on whatever he's bringing in, you know, and anything else that comes with it. So we just find a way that we don't want to do it. We don't want to pay things that is beneficial and hopefully can help us to be a better country.
I think the first thing we need to say is that you can never give up hope.
Yeah.
Even when all things are going wrong, there's always hope. There's always a bright spark. All it takes is a lot of bright sparks to create a bright light within the darkness. And that's what we're doing here. And I think that's what a lot of people do and soldier on day in and day out. They're good in everything. I mean, in the religious community, they're very good people. In the current government, there are a lot of good people. In the opposition, there are a lot of good people. There are a lot of good teachers. There are a lot of good police officers. There are a lot of good immigration officers. We need to try and weed out the bad, and we need to, first of all, and we spoke about this before, if we want to save our nation, we need to save the youth. The youth are our future. And we need to not just intervene when they're going down the wrong road, we need to prevent them before they go down the road.
Yeah.
And that, as I've said that so many times, if we have to reach and it's unfortunately men, for the most part, women on the whole have purpose. They're going places.
We need to spend a whole show, Doc, on family. I mean, we missed that.
Yeah.
I mean, most people, you know, as I listen to people talk, they want to talk about the Privy Council and this and that. But the family is really where we need to spend some time and talk about. Because when you lose the family, you lose the country.
Brilliant words, and I think that's a self-invite, and I accept that invitation. Well, we'll speak next time. We'll speak about the family and how we can empower the family to save our nation and our future.
We really need to spend some time.
So we pray again for the victims of the Hurricane Melissa, and we pray for our fellow Bahamians and residents in the southern, eastern, and southern western Bahamian Islands, and we pray for those in Jamaica who are going through hell on earth. Please have a safe Bahamas, safe week Bahamas, and let's do better for ourselves and let's do better for our country. Good night.
Good night.
champion.
Rise up again.
Let nothing keep you down.
To live your best.
Heavy urologist.
Take full control of your bladder. Don't let it control you. Come check with